Well, all of y'all have watched me in my midlife crisis since I turned 40 last summer. And this study didn't help because I found out I'm a middle-aged adult. That was depressing. I'm not a young adult. I'm a middle-aged adult is what I was told as I did some reading and looking at things. Well, where's those notes at? There they are. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 16 and Colossians chapter 4. Want to look through, just scan through chapter 16 of Romans for a minute here. And I just want to look at the names that are there. So I'm going to go down through there and scan and skip words and skip a few verses and read a few words here so you can kind of keep your eye on it and follow with me. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruit of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor upon us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Perses, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus and Phlegon and Hermas and Patrobas and Hermes and the brethren which are with us. Salute Philologus and Julia, Narius and his sister, Olympus, and Olympus and all the saints that be with him. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The church of our Lord of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, I want to skip a few more verses here. He gets down to verse 21. Timotheus, my work fellow, and Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. And Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, my host of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Cartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You go over to Colossians chapter 4. Verse 10, another list of names. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you. Verse 9, with Onesimus, a faithful beloved brother who is one of you. Verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, salute you. Marcus, sister's son to... And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, and Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers. 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring feverishly. For I bear him record that he hath great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Now salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphis, the church. Say to Archippus, verse 17, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. I want to title tonight, The Nucleus and the Nuclear Reaction. The Nucleus and the Nuclear Reaction. James is laughing at me. Come on, James. The Nucleus. That's what I just read. I read a list of names that were part of a nucleus. They got their name in here because they were, now some of them may have been new believers. Some of them may have been old believers. I didn't research the ages of all of them. I don't know what age of adulthood they were in. My guess is a good number of them were young adults and probably middle-aged adults. There were a few, he said, of one who was in the Lord longer than he had been, may have been a little older than Paul at that time. But there was a nucleus. There was a nucleus that was assembled at the Church of Rome. There was a nucleus that surrounded Paul as he went about his ministry. And that nucleus was the basis through which God began to work and began to do what he wanted to do in that church and in the ministry of Paul. It was that nucleus of people. Everybody can't be the first guy. Everybody can't be the pastor. Everybody can't be number one. There has to be a nucleus. There's got to be a group. There's got to be a group. And when you think about young adults, when I was thinking about my growing up days here at First Pentecostal Church, and I began to think, you know, young people are critical to the church. The youth are critical. They are the future. But the youth got to have somebody to work with them. And when I think about my growing up days, I can think of a nucleus of people that were under the charge of Brother Huff and that worked with me as a young person. And it was mostly young adults. Dave Parker, he was youth pastor for a good while. Benny Napier took us to youth camp. Roy Crawford was our ball coach at the Christian school. Tom Russell was a principal. I could name lots of teachers who came to the Christian school. And besides Verdi Carlisle, I don't know that any of them were elderly. Most of them were young. Most of them came fresh out of Bible school. They were young adults. And it was a nucleus of people. I remember as growing up, some people that were involved with the youth group, Elsie and Joanne had a pretty close involvement with the youth group as I was growing up. And so there's got to be in a church, there's got to be a nucleus of adults. A nucleus of adults that are participating in the ministry. There's got to be a nucleus of, and I believe that in our church, I was thinking about a conversation I had with James Snow a few years ago, and I'll say these as a quote, but I'm just trying to remember what he said. But we were talking about the church here at First Pentecostal Church, and he said, "This is an incredible group of people," and he was talking about our nucleus. He was talking about our nucleus. He went on to say that you guys are ready to explode. You guys are ready. You're ready. The nucleus. You know, Brother Jarvis, he's a pastor, and he gives direction. He gives insight. He gives the leadership. He supplies the, when I say direction, I mean he supplies where we're headed. He supplies the vision, but there's got to be a nucleus in the church that's ready to do. I some pictures in my mind over the years that I can remember back, those pictures that were clipped out of the Sentinel Echo in regard to our church history that shows Brother Huff with a group of men breaking ground. I remember that picture, Randy Nicholson, my dad. Maybe I remember it because Dad was in that picture. But I can remember, I don't know if they were breaking ground on this building or if they were breaking ground on another building, but I think about that time in history in First Pentecostal Church, there was a nucleus of young adults that were around Brother Huff that were getting a hold of his vision, and that's what we have right here today. That nucleus of young people. They weren't very old. I was four and five years old when this building was building, and I thought my dad was an old man. He was just 26. Or, let's see here, 1975. He'd have been 28. He'd have been 28. He was just 28. He was a young fella. He was 45. He was 45. It was a group of young adults that had got a hold of a vision, and that through that nucleus in the church, Carl Hacker got a hold of the vision of a bus ministry, and talk about a nuclear reaction that took off. Bringing in 99 kids on a bus, and regularly their average was probably 60 and 50. That nucleus, and in our church, I believe that it's time. He wanted me to speak about young adult ministry, and I think that when you talk about young adult ministry, you got to have something to start with. You got to have something to start with. And I believe in our church that I would agree with James Snow that our church has some real blessings of people in our midst. The nucleus that's here tonight is a talented group of people. The nucleus that's here tonight. And so if you're over, you know, Brother Jarvis gave me that age from 20 to 50 for young adult class. And so if you're just outside of that, you can still consider yourself a young adult. We'll go by Brother Jarvis's definition of young adult. But a nucleus of people that get a hold of a vision and are willing to say, you know what, I'll put the work, the sweat, I'll put the prayer, I'll put the study, I'll put the effort into it. It takes a nucleus. When you think about a family, you talk about the nuclear family. That's the mom and the dad. They're the ones that put all the work into those kids. The mom and the dad, we do it all. Rebecca washed dishes today, all day long. And I said, why did you do that? Your kids can do that. But she did, because parents, they just do that. They put the work into their kids. We run, we drive, we pick up, we take, we do. And we put the effort into those children. We make decisions. We plan for the future. We provide for their needs. We do that. And that's what a family, mom and dad, does. And in a church, there's got to be that nucleus, that group of us, that the Wednesday night crowd, the Sunday school teachers, the youth workers that are willing to say, you know what, I'll put the work and the effort into what is the vision that the pastor brings. You know, Jesus had the 12 apostles. He had another group outside of that, but he had a nucleus that he was working with. There was a council at Jerusalem. Paul had his group. People mentioned at the end of the epistles. David had his mighty men that served him from the beginning to the end, that were that nucleus that was part of bringing about his rule and bringing about his reign, and the ones who fought the battle, the ones who were so in tune with him that when he said, oh, that I had a drink from the well at Bethlehem, that they said, you know what we're going to do? Let's go. Let's go get some water. Let's bring him some water back. And they were, David's around Moses, he had Aaron and Hur and Joshua and Caleb. And then outside of that, as time went by, there was Eleazar and Phinehas that became a part of that nucleus that was worked. He had 70 that he brought in that began to work with all those million or so that was there with him, but a nucleus of people. And in a church, we need to nurture that nucleus, and we need to recognize how important we are to that nucleus. We need to recognize that nucleus isn't complete if we don't have all the pieces together. If everybody's not doing a part and doing something and doing what they can, it's not quite. You know, when Judas fell in his betrayal, one of the first things they took up when they came back to Jerusalem was, how are we going to replace this number 12? And so they were together in a decision-making process and seeking the Lord there, because everyone is important to the nucleus. If you're part, we can't afford to lose any. We can't afford to have any stray away. We can't afford to have any not fulfill their role. But young adults are generally that nucleus. It's usually filled with young adults that have energy. They have potential. They have maturity about them that they're beyond those years of immaturity. They have maturity. They have some means. They have some independence. And that's what we are. We have means, we have independence, we have maturity. And so that nucleus is generally made out of, they're energetic. You know, the older you get though, you lose a little bit of energy. But they're energetic. They've got the energy. They've got the resources as far as physical strength and maybe monetary means or talents and intelligence and abilities. They've got those things that are needed. And so to put that nucleus together to do what's needed in the church, it's going to be a group of young adults. That's what it's going to be. We need to recognize how, you know, and there we have in our church, and I bring up some negative things here, and a lot of it is probably has to do with, it's as much my problem, and so I'm not looking at anybody. Sometimes I believe to outsiders who are coming to our church, I think we're sometimes intimidating. And one reason I say that is because people have told me that I'm intimidating. I don't mean to be, but I think sometimes we can, and we need to be careful to not be intimidating to people that come in. The nucleus doesn't need to be such a nucleus that nobody can penetrate it. The nucleus, sometimes we're exclusive. Maybe it's because of our separation, the separation we believe in. We're exclusive about us, and we're not quick to receive people. I think I could work on that. Sometimes our nucleus, and I'm talking about myself here, our nucleus, we're exclusive. We're not ready to receive. Sometimes we're ready to receive them, but we're not really ready to receive them. We're ready to say hi and shake their hand, but are we really ready to disciple? Are we really ready to get our fingers dirty talking to them about the real issues of life? To disciple them as they come in. We're busy. I'm busy. I am busy. I told Rebecca I'm going to keep a journal this week of my schedule. Because I realized at the end of last week how busy this week would be, how busy next week's going to be, and how busy the week after that's going to be, and then I'm going to be gone to convention for a whole week. We're busy. You're just as busy as I am. And sometimes our busyness causes us to not fulfill our role in the nucleus of the church. As a young person, I used to look at older adults and say, how come they're not doing this? And why have they quit doing that? And how come they're not doing this anymore? And you know what? Now I understand. I do. Because it'd be easy to lay some stuff down. It'd be easy to say, you know, let somebody else do it for a while, because we get busy and life gets difficult and responsibilities mount. And sometimes our busyness keeps us as those of us that are part of this nucleus, it keeps us from pursuing that ministry that we know God has laid on our heart. We've heard the pastor preach. We've heard him give his vision. We come to the mission conference and God speaks to us and lays something on our heart, but we get busy and we don't step into that ministry that God has spoken to us about because we're so busy And so I think that's a problem that here at First Pentecostal Church in our nucleus that we need to be very careful about, and that we try to not. And another thing that busyness does to us, if you're busy and talented, and I'll be the first one to say that this has happened. I'm busy. I know how to do stuff. And so that's how I get it done. Because I know how to do it. Not because I've sought the Lord, not because I've asked Him to really anoint me. I just knew that the next responsibility was my Sunday school class Sunday morning. And so I just get on that lesson and go through it real fast and see what happens when I get in there. We've done it. You've done it. We're busy and we're talented. We know how to get things done. At First Pentecostal Church, we know how to have a choir. We got a good one. But as a choir, are we really seeking the Lord to be the effective choir He wants us to be? You know, we've got a lot of talented people, and I think, and that's good. But I think we need to be careful, and I need to be careful. The Lord, these things I'm bringing up, they're for me. If you're good on these, fine. They're for me. I'm busy, and sometimes I do things just because I know how to do it, not because I'm depending on the Lord. But as a nucleus, we need to be depending on the Lord. The Lord has given us a great group of people here. We are great. This is a great church. It's a great group of people. We have many blessings that are among us in all of the people. Those of you that are here tonight, others that aren't here tonight, are a tremendous blessing. They have talents and abilities and insights, and they're full of the Holy Ghost, and they're saved, and they're living right. And oh, what God could do with a group of people who say, "I want to be a part of that nucleus. I want to be a part of that nucleus that brings about that nuclear reaction." You know, over the years, and I guess I'm not preaching, I'm teaching. Over the years, I've thought about my ministry, and I've prayed over the years, "Lord, where do you want me to be?" And I've been confident and content to be a part of London Christian Academy and First Pentecostal Church. And over the years, as I have considered, you know, a few years ago before Seth was born, we went to Somerset and filled in there, and I was asking the Lord, you know, "Lord, do we need to take this church? Does this need to be the ministry that I go into?" And one of the things that I guess, I don't know if the Lord laid it on my heart or if it's just something I made myself feel better with, but I began to think about the ministry here at First Pentecostal Church and look at what was going over there, and I don't want to, nothing against Calvary, but at the time, Calvary was small. There was only 15, 20. And I just began to think, you know, but that's not where they are now. They're doing better now that Ernie got back where he's supposed to be. The Lord began, I think the Lord gave me this thought that through my ministry here at First Pentecostal Church in London Christian Academy, I affected more people on a yearly basis than I would have affected in a year's time over there at Calvary. Through this church, anybody who wants to have a ministry can have a ministry. You can have a ministry. There is a ministry available for you. There is something in this church that you can do and probably affect more people than some pastors in our fellowship affect. That we don't have to go somewhere else. You know, lots of times people go to, the people at OBI right now are saying, "Oh man, the Lord called me to First Pentecostal Church." But the people at First Pentecostal Church, sometimes we go, especially young adults, and they look and say, "Well, if God would call me to somewhere else, because home just isn't as cool. Home just isn't as exciting and neat." But God has there is a ministry, there is a potential here in all avenues of ministry that this church has available, to affect people's lives. And so anybody that's looking for a ministry, we don't need to look and say, "Well, I need to go somewhere else to plug myself in so God can use me." God can use us right here. He can use us right here. We don't need to be looking somewhere else. And I believe that God has brought a group of people together, a group of young people, a group of people that are solid, and that God wants to do some things in our midst. The nuclear reaction. I'll give you a little bit of, I don't really know a lot about nuclear reactions, but I'll give you a few things that I do know about them. A nuclear reaction occurs when the nucleus is bombarded with something. When the nucleus is bombarded with something, the nucleus changes into something different. And when that happens, energy is released. And so as I was thinking about that in terms of a nucleus, when the Holy Spirit can bombard this nucleus that we have and change us, that's what he said. He said, go back to Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Go back there until you get bombarded. You got a nucleus of 120. Go back there. When you get bombarded by the Holy Spirit and a change takes place, there was a tremendous release of energy. There was a tremendous release of effective work in Jerusalem. 3,000 souls were saved. A few days, week or so later, 5,000 souls were saved. And it continued and it continued. When that nucleus allowed the Holy Spirit. And that's where we need to be. We need to say, Lord, I want to be a part of that nucleus. And Lord, we need you to saturate us with your Holy Spirit. We need you to bombard us with the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost to put the light on us and show us what needs to change. To put the light on us and show us the things that we need rid of out of our life. We need the Holy Spirit to come in and anoint us and fill us so that we have what we need to affect and to do the ministry that God wants us to do, whether it's Sunday school, whether it's children's church, whether it's bus ministry, whether it's yarn ministry, whether it's visitation, whether it's working in the Christian school, whatever it might be, if it's coordinating a basic seminar, whatever it is, if it's youth ministry, whatever it might be, that Lord, the Holy Spirit would bombard us and that He would change us so that that release of energy would go out. What happened on that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit bombarded that place and changed them? All of a sudden people said, what is going on over there? When the energy is there, when the energy of the Holy Spirit is evidenced, people are going to come to see what it is and to see if it's anything for them that they might need. And if we got a nucleus that's willing to say, Lord, I want you to do that to me, I want you to use me, then God's going to begin to do that in our midst. And so the Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 6, you have that group of that nucleus. See, they had a big nucleus to start with, and then they started making other nuclei. And so in Acts chapter 6, they said, we've got a problem here. We're not getting enough work done, and we're not being able to preach like we want to, and said, so we need a new nucleus. We need a new group to get together. And so they said, look out from among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And it's with this group, this nucleus, we're going to effect a ministry to the widows and to those in need. And so he looked out. There were Stephen and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. It says in verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. He was a part of a nucleus that was waiting tables. But as he was in that ministry, he said, I'm going to do it by the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to serve food. I'm not going to wait tables just because I got a good arm and I know how to put a plate together and I know how to drive a buggy and a horse or whatever it took to wait tables. He said, I'm going to do it in the power of the Holy Ghost. And so as Stephen affected that ministry, when he went into that one that was sick and when he went into that widow that was in need and he said, well, can I pray with you while I'm here? He probably said. And all of a sudden people were saying, did you see that miracle? Did you hear what happened when Stephen went over here? Did you hear what happened last night when Stephen was serving dinner? That lady was walking through the line and he said, stop right here. Let me pray for you. And there was a great miracle and a great wonder that was done. See, in our ministry through the nucleus of adults and young adults in this church, God wants to do some great and wonderful things. Philip, one of these guys, he was waiting tables and all of a sudden, I don't know what changed his mind, he decided, I need to go to Samaria. I think the Lord's calling me to preach at Samaria. And sure enough, he headed down there. God wants us to move into whatever ministry under the power of the Holy Ghost, and he'll cause that explosion of energy. Young people, young adults, when you think about adults, adults are primarily motivated. This is a quote from William Campbell in his article, More Than a Midlife Crisis. Adults are primarily motivated to learn new knowledge or skills in order to solve a problem, answer a question, or meet a need. These are often brought on by a transition in life stages. Teachable moments for adults center around times of conflict, feeling of inadequacy, recognition of a need or a problem, setting a goal, or searching for meaning. And that's what our nucleus of young adults is looking for. We're looking for those people, those other young adults who are having a problem that needs to be solved. You know what? I'm not arrogant when I say this. We have the answer. We do. We have the answer. We have the answer in the power of the Holy Ghost. When those people that are looking for answers to questions, those people that are looking to have a need met, and we're the church that needs to be saying, you know what? I have an answer for you. I have something that can help you and meet that need. I can help you solve that problem. You know, we look at our church and we have lots of good families in this church. Some tremendous families that are husband and wife and children, no divorces, no remarriage, great families. But if God's going to grow this church, we're going to see families that aren't like that. And we need to be ready to say, you know what? Even in your place, God is still the answer. And God can still use you. And God still has a ministry for you. And even though it's not Greg and Rebecca, who grew up in the church all their lives, your family can become a great family. Your family can, even though we're not James and Carol Martin, we can become those kinds of families, regardless of where we've come from, that we have a way to solve their problem in their family. And it's through having Jesus Christ in their lives. It's through having the Lord. It's through becoming people who pray and seek God. It's through receiving help from Him. That's where it comes from. And so we have those answers, and we need to do our part to be a part of that nucleus, ready to fulfill our ministry, allow the Holy Spirit to bombard us so that we're ready with the energy of the Holy Ghost to answer those questions and meet those needs. And we need to be ready. Another article that I read by Sharon Ellard, and it discussed about meeting the needs of young adults and adults. It says, they're looking for something. And so they're looking to learn something. They're looking to get an answer to a question. They're looking to solve a problem. And so one thing that she mentioned was, we need to include everyone who comes. We have an answer for you. We have an answer for you, and we're going to include you. We're ready to be friendly, but to be gone beyond that, to include them, beyond that, to interact with them. We're ready to find those who are in need. We got an eye out for them at work, in our community involvement, in our neighborhood, in our families. We're ready to find them. And another thing that she mentioned about young adults is when young adults come to church, they need to have a purpose outside of themselves to be here. A purpose outside of themselves to be here. Because you got to eventually bring a young adult to a place to where that they are coming into a ministry, coming into doing something for the Lord. And I've been so impressed, and we all have for the last couple years with what Christy and Deborah did. They found that ministry on their own. Of their own, they came up with that ministry. But the reality is we need to be ready to bring people to a ministry. They found their own ministry. But we need to be ready to say, you know what? We're ready to involve you in ministry. You need to get involved in this. You need to get involved in that. And the young adults need to be involved. If they come to our church and all we've got for them is a Sunday morning service, that's not going to meet their need. We've got to have them involved in more than just a Sunday morning service. We've got to say, you need to be a part. We want you to be a part of us. And a lot of those young adults that were on Brother Jarvis's list, many of them, they come on Sunday morning, they come every once in a while, they come occasionally, and we need to be saying, Lord, bombard us with the power of the Holy Ghost as we reach out and minister to them, as we speak to them, let them see that there's a place for them here, there's a place where you can use them. You know, a lot of young adults, they get busy finding something where they can put their name. Something that's important to them. Something that drives them. And what we need to have is a church that's available and says, you know what? You can find something for yourself here. You can become what God wants you to be here. You can fulfill a ministry here. And so we need to look at those young adults and say, I'm ready to put you into a work for the Lord. I'm ready to put you into doing something for God. And you know, that's kind of where Brother Huff had his part of the explosion back then, was he was putting everybody to work. He was putting everybody to work. There were bus workers, 2 and 3 of them on every bus. There's a bus driver. There were Sunday school classes here, there, and everywhere. There were people doing all kinds of different ministries that were going on. And then he put them to work on building this building and putting them to work. Young adults, they look for meaning. They look for searching for meaning. They look to be somewhere where they can set a goal and accomplish something. And they can do that here at First Pentecostal Church. You know, David, it said in Acts 13:36, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. Now that's the sister Priscilla was singing, some say you live and then you die. Is that how that line goes? Well, that's kind of what this verse sounds like to me. You live and then you die. But you know what it says that David, after he had served his own generation. After he had served his own generation. And that's what God is calling us to do. Our job as this nucleus of this church is to serve our own generation. To see the needs and to go and say, what can I do to make a difference? What can I do to make a part? You know, Psalm 24 says there is a generation. Better read it. Psalm 24 says, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. See, among us, the nucleus are the ones that seek him. Then Proverbs chapter 30 talks about generations. Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30 says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that is pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are swords and their jaw teeth are knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. See, there's a generation. These are the sinners. We're going to serve our generation. We're going to seek God, and then we're going to say, Lord, how can I make a difference in that group right there? How can I make a difference in that group right there? God called David to serve his generation. He raised him up as a young man on those fields with those sheep. He brought him to that throne in Israel. He helped him to establish the kingdom. He helped him to bring in all of the resources that were necessary to build the temple so that when Solomon took over, there wasn't much left to do except put it all together. David served his generation, and that's what God has called us to do, to serve our generation, generation of young adults that need the answers that God has already shown us in His Word. A generation of young adults that need the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. God's called us to serve our generation. I want to be a part of that nucleus, but it's not enough to be a nucleus and sit around and say, well, isn't this nice? We need the Lord to bombard us and say, and let that energy of His Holy Spirit reach out to others. Reach out to others and see the young adult ministry grow, to see the youth ministry grow, to see the school grow. You know, one vision I've had for the school over the last few years, and I shared this with the church a couple years ago. I shared it with Brother Jarvis here recently, that in the school, that the school would be a church school. That the majority of the kids in London Christian Academy would be First Pentecostal Church kids. Because we're going to better train our kids when our school is full of kids from our church. Because I know, I see differences, and it's not a horrific problem that I'm ready to pull my kids out and quit. It's nothing like that. But how much better it would be if it was 50%, 75% First Pentecostal. You know what that's going to take, though? Right now, we have 11 kids from First Pentecostal Church in that school. That's from 5 families, maybe 6. I forgot my number. So that tells me that if I'm going to get up to, you know, if we had 75 kids in the school and we need and we're going to have 35 kids from First Pentecostal Church. That means that I need, what would that be? 24, 11 from 35. Yeah, I need 24 more young people in First Pentecostal Church going to that school. Now, Brother Lonnie and Sister Lori loves that. But what about young adults? Where do those kids come from? They got families and they got parents. On average, if you take 2 kids per family, that means in the next year, by fall, we're going to have 12 new families in this church and they're going to put their kids in that school. God wants to do that. I really believe God wants to do that. God wants to build this church. He wants, and when we have young adults coming in, we're going to have young people coming in. When we have young adults coming in, there's going to be an influx in other areas of the church when we get that. And I believe God that he wants to do that. He wants LCA to be that kind of ministry. I really believe that he does. And he can supply that. He can bring those in that'll be a part of this church, a group of young adults. And, I'm excited about the families that we're going to see. I'm excited about what's going to happen over the next few weeks. I believe God's ready to move because James Snow said, we're ready for an explosion. And I believe he was right because as we seek the Spirit of God and say, Lord, bombard us with your Holy Ghost, he'll give us what we need to reach out and to see others come in. Let's stand together. Lord, I thank you so much that you have challenged me. Lord, I thank you that you've shined the light on some areas of my life that I need to shape up on. And Lord, thank you that you have shown me how important it is for me to be full of the Holy Ghost. How important it is for me to operate my ministry that you've given me under the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost. Lord, that it might affect those more in a real way, spiritually, Lord, for you. It just wouldn't be an effort of kindness. It just wouldn't be an effort of duty. But Lord, it would be an anointed effort of love by the power of the Holy Ghost to meet the needs of people that we minister to. Lord, we pray for our church, for this nucleus that's here tonight. Lord, that you would speak to our heart those areas of ministry that you desire for them to begin to work in. And Lord, you would help them to put aside the busyness and put aside all the hindrances that Satan would bring to them to keep them from moving in that ministry. And Lord, you'd give a special anointing, a mighty anointing, Lord, that effectiveness would be in their lives. That they would effectively witness, they would effectively work for you to build your kingdom. We thank you, Lord, for how you're working. We thank you, Lord, for the vision that you've put in our pastor's heart, Lord, and how that you are directing him to lead this church. And Lord, help us to be that nucleus that gets behind what he is leading us to. And Lord, that we'll put our back, we'll put our sweat, we'll put our prayer, we'll put our study into what he's leading us for, that we might see you have your way in this church. We thank you and praise you and we glorify you, Lord, for what you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.